ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So in this portion, the book Vedanta Treatise, where he is talking about passive and aggressive type of people. Now this is a very, very practical portion, because we can understand about ourselves and we can understand about others, which will help in relating better. So the law of life is that subtle controls the gross. Gross does not control the subtle. And every human being is made up of a physical body, mind, intellect, enlivened by Atma. Now, Atma is the subtlest. It is beyond the body, mind and intellect. There are people who operate mostly at the sense level, though they are probably few in number. They are very, very gross. The next level of people are those who operate at the level of emotions, who are more in number, very high in number. Then again, you come to the people who operate at the level of intellect. They are also very little in number, far and few. Much smaller proportion is those who use the intellect, especially the subtle intellect, identify with Atma and function with absolute objectivity and functioning as a witness. So in this portion, what Swamiji is saying is, he is calling those who operate with intellect as aggressive, those who operate with mind as passive. And amongst these two categories, there are two categories within the categories. That is, in passive, there are two categories called good and bad. Similarly, in aggressive, there are two categories called good and bad. So, passively good, passively bad. Aggressively good, aggressively bad. Passive in the sense, functioning without thinking, mechanically, with no awareness whatsoever. With no buddhi guiding the mind. So there are people whose mind is negative, selfish, or certain bad habits it's picked up mechanically from the parents and the society. No. If you are being brought up in an environment where everybody uses certain foul language casually, you grow up using that language and using it against anybody and everybody. It is something that is negative, bad, but it is not used with thinking. There may be no intention to hurt other person. You may not mean what you are saying, but you are grown up in that situation, so mechanically picked up that language, that kind of communication. Whereas, if you are operating on the intellect, you won't do things mechanically. So, when you are selfish, self-centered, egoistic, you are called bad. When you are unselfish and selfless, you are called good. Now, being good or bad is one thing. It's another thing to be good or bad and be using the buddhi, which is a subtler equipment. So, there are people who are intending to be bad. Consciously, they want to do things negative. They are vicious. They scheme and plan and destroy the other person. Such people come under the category of aggressively bad. their intellect is definitely more developed and their mind is negative. They are aggressively bad, but they rule over passively good and passively bad. Because, as I told you, the law is subtle controls the gross. But this aggressively bad person has not moved to the center yet, the core, obviously. Therefore, he is operating only at the gross intellect and the mind is also negative. When the person's identification starts moving towards the self within, his gross intellect is also strong and the subtle intellect is also now sharp, which is identifying with the Atma. So that person not only thinks and functions, but that person remains objective as a witness. So aggressively good person will rule over all the three. He will rule over the aggressively bad, passively good, and passively bad. So the law is, you have to put in effort and evolve from being passive to aggressive good. It is not enough being good, you have to be aggressively good. A lot of people say, we've been following rules, regulation meticulously. Business also we've been carrying out, always following ethics. But there are other people in the world who don't follow things properly. They are unethical. But they are the ones who are flourishing. And we are suffering so much that we might have to close the business. Now, what you need to understand is, while you need to be ethical and moral, you also need to stand apart and understand the whole picture. Shakespeare says, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. You cannot all the time be true, but you can all the time be not false to anyone. That is possible. Because your interest is in the core. Doctor has no intention to cause pain to the patient. But sometimes he might have to cause pain to the patient for the good of the patient. He can't help it. I don't know, recently one of my class members in Delhi, she and her grandson, who is very small, I think he's only 7 or 8, was bitten by the dog which they have at home. Suddenly while playing, something happened and the dog bit them both. And I believe the doctor, I don't know, this is the first time I'm hearing, she said there is an injection that they had to put in the same place and it was terribly painful. It's unbearable, she said. So, they did the same thing to that fellow who is 7 years old. So, has the doctor got any intention to cause any pain to the child? No. But he cannot avoid. Because in the overall good, it has to be done. For that, you need objectivity. It is neither being unscrupulous, like last week the discussion came up, like, does it mean that end justifies the means? For which I said, no, end doesn't justify the means. When you function as end justify the means, there is tremendous ego that you are going to do something good for the world. There is no ego, nothing. You go about with humility. But keeping yourself always alert and functioning in the situation that you must do. whatever it is. So such people we call as principle centered. An aggressively good person will be principle centered, not principle bound. You must understand that many things we have evolved over a period of time. It's very interesting, you know, many customs, culture, all that. As Hindus, amongst Hindus itself, in South India where I come from, you are allowed to marry, a girl is allowed to marry her own mama, mother's younger brother, or mama's son. The boy is allowed to marry his aunt's son, that is his father's younger sister's or elder sister's daughter. Now that is considered taboo in the North Hindus themselves. You go to some other group of people, they can marry father's brother's daughter. In South India, father's sister's daughter you can marry. But father's brother's daughter is like your sister. Now, I'm not saying which is right, which is wrong. But there's a certain conditioning with which everybody comes up in life. Each one has their own logic, reason. We respect all that. But I'm only trying to say there's a certain conditioning. The rule is same for everybody. If you are playing that rule, that game, play the rule. The rule should be equal for both sides. One fellow suddenly decides not to follow the rule. You cannot be stupid saying that I will follow the rule. If possible, as much as possible, follow the rule. But if these fellows are doing like this, you got to use your buddhi there. I'm not saying do this or do that. That depends on situation to situation. But you are not false to any being. Your interest is in the course. This is completely different from end justifying the means. And as follows, in the beginning itself decided, I'll do whatever I want because I'm doing good. That is wrong. That is not what we are discussing here. So therefore, always we make sure that we follow the means to the dot. There may be situations, very rare maybe, but you must have the intellect to use it in the context properly. Otherwise, you will be ruled over by the so-called aggressively bad people. And this is happening everywhere in the world, especially in the companies. This is the major question they ask. Sometimes they give you the topic also. You know, ethics in business. Now we have to talk about it for 2-3 sessions to make people understand. It's so difficult because people think that because of the conditioning, it's nothing but conditioning. Either they think it is unscrupulous or they think that it's absolutely fine. And they do all kinds of things. So, the middle path, which is by the buddhi. We use the buddhi and do it objectively. And objectivity always wins over people who are involved. So that's why aggressively good person will be able to rule over aggressively bad, passively good, passively bad. So if you want to survive in this world, you have to be aggressively good. Not enough just being good. This much we have seen so far. Now let's read that portion from the paragraph, the proportion of the passive. Please read, Shweta.
The proportion of the passive far exceeds the aggressive everywhere. The reason being that human beings hardly use their intellect. They live at the level of their mind and its emotions, feelings, likes and dislikes, and suffer the consequences. They do not care to exert, strive for bettering themselves. The passive are rising in numbers. Among the aggressive, the good are indeed very rare. So the aggressive bad exploit the weakness of the passive good and bad. The passive become victims to the vicious practices of the aggressive bad. This explains why the honest suffer, while the dishonest prosper. It is the intellect scoring over the mind, a law of human nature. The passive do not realize their weakness, make no attempt to strengthen their intellect. They choose to remain in their mental and emotional frame, get overpowered by those who operate from the level of the intellect, and complain of the world being corrupt. To solve this problem, they must shed their complacency and develop their intellect. Until they fortify themselves, they may need to seek intellectual guidance from others to combat the viciousness of the aggressive bad. Thus, must the passive turn into aggressive good to be able to confront and conquer the aggressive bad elements in the society. There is no other way to it.
See, is very clearly in the end, he's saying there is no other way to it. If there is any other way, please do that. But there is no other way to it. Always, you find in the world also, cattle will be more in number. Pigeons will be more in number. Pigs will be more in number. Lions will be less in number. Eagle will be less in number. You understand? You will always find people who operate at the level of mind will be more in number. Those who follow things like a herd mentality. Everywhere recently, it's actually very painful it is. Recently I heard in the sense all of us from the news channels and the newspapers, we heard that in Tirupati there was a stampede. Tirupati Balaji, when they were buying some tickets, there was a stampede. And yesterday or day before, there was a stampede in that Kumbh Mela. Like a mad fellows, everybody functions without thinking, you know. And in some other city, Hyderabad or somewhere, one movie got released in the middle of the night. Mother took the child to the movie, first day they want to see. And in the stampede, she died. It's just incredible. What will happen to you if you see it 2-3 days later? It's just madness. Nobody thinks. See, the fear. It's, when we say nobody thinks, it's like, what is this fellows? They speak as if they are the only thinkers. It's not like that. It is just incredible. Now, see, I come from Tamil Nadu, south. Now, we have our own calendar. Like you also, everybody has their own calendar. We don't follow English calendar. Day-to-day purpose, yes, we follow English calendar. But we have Tamil calendar, Telugu calendar. Everybody has their calendar. So that is our first day of the year. In Tamil Nadu, the first day of the year is approximately 13th or 14th April. It's called Tamil New Year's Day. English New Year Day is not in our culture New Year Day. For work purpose, we follow that. Understand? Now, the madness is that people want to go on that New Year's Eve to the temple and they queue up. Because on the first day, they should start the day with the darshan of the Bhagawan. Throughout the year, they'll do all nonsense. But first day, they'll go queue up, they'll pray to God. In the middle of the night, 12 o'clock, huge queue is there. And I am told, I don't know if what I heard is correct. Certain temples are not supposed to be opened at that time. But these fellows have made some excuse and they opened it also. As per Agama rule, they're not supposed to keep it open that time. I don't know, somehow they have, because at the time crowd is coming. So the point what I'm trying to say is, it's all become madness actually. We just don't think. Everybody is going, I have to go. If you want to do, do it. Even if everybody is doing, you do also, no problem. But think and do. Like in the Fall of the Human Intellect book, Swamiji talks about this. At the time, he says, he gives the example of marriage. Two things he talks about when he talks about marriage, two things he says. One is, first of all, you have to think whether you need to get married or not. Everybody is getting married, doesn't mean you also get married. There are six reasons he gives out for marriage. Main reasons, there may be many other reasons. Out of that, if you have one or two reasons which is strongly in you, maybe you need to get married. Otherwise, why you should get married? Just because everybody is getting married, you have to get married. That doesn't mean since everybody is getting married, I should not get married. No. You think about it and decide. And second is the way marriages are conducted today. Based on that, they have one television program itself, Big Fat Wedding. You understand? Big Fat Wedding is a program in the TV. And it's madness in the sense, like, I know one class member, she came to know that I'm going to be in Ananda at that time for the lectures. So 1 week before that, she had a wedding in the house. Her son got married. And she told me, after the wedding, I'm coming there because all this preparation for the wedding given me heavy stress. I'll come there. Since you're also going to be there, I will not go to any other place. I'll come to Ananda. 3 days I'll stay. She came. It was such a big stressful thing for her. It's not just for her, many people. Because everybody is doing, I have to do. But you want to do, do it. But just because everybody is doing, why you want to do? Why is that happening? Why do you come under that pressure? Because you don't think. I don't believe in these things, but what to do? Everybody has have to do. Who is telling you to do? Why you can't stand up? Don't say they are putting pressure. You are not having the capacity to stand up to that pressure. At least accept that and do. But at least it's okay. But you are not even able to accept that. You say, hey, what to do? Hey, you are all in Vedanta, Swamiji. You are all in the world. Hey, nothing like that. Vedanta is an even bigger samsara. You understand? So, herd instinct. Bechal. Majority will be this. That's what he's saying. The proportion of the passive far exceeds the aggressive. That's why I said cattle will be more in number. Pigeons will be more in number. Eagle will be very less. Lion will be less. Thinking type will be less. Swamiji says, you go to any college, you go to different classes, commerce, economics, many other fields, you will find lots of people pursuing it. You go to maths, very few people. And you go to philosophy, there's hardly two fellows sitting. One student, one professor. The moment things become subtler and subtler and subtler, quantity will be less. You can't help it. That's all he's saying. This is an observation. Most of the places it's like this. You will find very rarely a person who questions and does it another way. Not simply wants to do it another way. To stand up against the so-called norm, when it has no reason or logic, you need to have strong intellect. So, he says, everywhere the passive people are more in number, aggressive less. Amongst that, aggressive good is very rare. Because who is identifying with the Atma and all? Little bit you may think and function. Identifying with Atma, objectively functioning, very rare. But that rarest of the rare is the one who controls and manages everybody when it comes to doing things. He has the capacity to do that. Because that person can never be defeated and that person never thinks anything to be a success. Nor does he do anything for success or failure. He just do it because he has to do it. So therefore, he says, the law is you have to become aggressively good. You take it or leave it, you will suffer aggression. Simply being good without thinking will be overpowered by people. Like yesterday also I was discussing with somebody, somehow in all our heads, without thinking, we have accepted that we have to, it's as if it's our obligation to earn for our great-great-grandchildren. Yes, no doubt, you brought your children into this world. You have an obligation to give them good education, health, exposure. That too, if you ask me, maybe up to age of 21, 22, till they finish graduation. Maybe up to post-graduation or whatever if you can. Otherwise, post-graduation, they have to manage. This much obligation you have. Not that you have obligation to buy properties for them and then for their children and their second and third wife also, you understand? In case they go through divorce. Now, this is the kind of life we are living. We are convinced. It's very interesting. Externally, it doesn't appear like it. But if you talk, they'll feel, it's not enough. What will happen to my children? Whoever took care of your child when he was in the womb, they'll take care of him or he has to manage. As if you are going to live forever to manage that fellow. Why are we coming under that pressure? Because we don't think. Whatever you have, if that person or children are capable of handling it, after you, you may pass it on to them. That's a different thing. But you don't have to come under the pressure for that purpose. Nobody thinks. That's why Swamiji says, nobody thinks, nobody thinks. All the time he keeps on saying. We sometimes feel, what is this? As if he's the only one who's thinking. Very arrogant. But that is the truth. See, when I'm talking about this marriage, when Swamiji's grandson, he, even before coming to Vedanta, he fell in love with a Russian girl when he was studying in London. And he wanted to join the ashram. Swamiji said, now you are going to get married to her. How will you come and study in the ashram? For which he said, no, we will wait for 3 years and then I'll get married. Then she also got interested. She also came and studied in the ashram. So 3 years they waited and then they got married. It so happened that girl's parents had come from Russia to the ashram. And they were going back in a month's time. And they wanted to talk about when the marriage can be held and all that. Then Swamiji said, since you guys are here anyway, now itself you conduct the marriage. See a good day, whatever, and then conduct the marriage here, now itself. They said, but Swamiji, you are on tour to Australia, you won't be there. So what if I'm not there? You get the marriage done, you don't have to go back and come back from Russia again for this marriage. If I am not there, it doesn't matter. Just get the marriage done. So they got the marriage done that time. See, in a sense, it's a very interesting thing to balance the principles and the practicality. That's where the thinking comes. And thinking is not something that we can develop mechanically. There's an effort involved in it. And that effort has to be done consistently on a daily basis. We don't even realize that our thinking also is in a way conditioned here. We'll think in only in particular way. Somebody asks you, why should it be this way? You say, nah, that kind of, I don't know, everybody is doing that way, I'm doing. You simply don't bother me now. So such passivity will keep you exposed. You will suffer. That's all he says. Passive must turn into aggressive to be able to confront and conquer the aggressive bad elements in the society. You can't help it. Jesus Christ says, iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause of it. During Jesus Christ's time, Jesus Christ himself was crucified. Krishna was abused by Shishupala, hurling abuses at him. All kinds of atrocity was happening to Draupadi during Krishna's time. Right in front of Bhishma and Drona. During Mahabharata. Now also, all the time there will be this kind of people. All kinds of gunas will be there. You have to develop your intellect. Otherwise you will suffer. So you must first understand that I must first strengthen myself physically and mentally. And when you fly, it's the aircraft they tell, no? At the time of emergency, oxygen mask will drop. You help yourself first, then help others. So your first obligation is to become strong. Strong means develop your intellect, buddhi. That's your very first obligation. Everything else is secondary. Because if you don't put in effort to strengthen your buddhi, you will destroy yourself and you will destroy others. So that's why he says, you must turn from being passive to aggressive if you want to conquer the aggressively bad elements controlling you. You meaning your life, your business, everything. There is no other way to it. Continue, please.
The epic Mahabharata presents a picture of the passive and aggressive natures of human beings. The royal cousins Pandavas and Kauravas in the epic represent these two categories. The Pandav princes were distinct in their passive goodness and the Kauravas in their aggressive badness. Consequently, the Pandavas suffered untold humiliation at the hands of the Kaurav prince, Duryodhan. He was a clear specimen of aggressive badness. He schemed and planned the destruction of his passively good cousins. The Pandavas sought the guidance of Lord Krishna. Krishna was a personification of aggressive goodness. He employed his intellect efficiently to destroy the vicious plans of Duryodhan and the rest. The aggressive good prevailed over the aggressive bad. Krishna relieved the suffering of the Pandavas and resurrected righteousness in the country.
So he's giving this example from Mahabharata that Pandavas, in spite of being good, they suffered because Duryodhana was aggressively bad. Simple, when he invited Yudhishthira to play the game of dice, and he said, instead of me, my uncle will play. All that Yudhishthira would have said is, instead of me, Krishna will play. Then the matter would have been finished then and there. He was so stupid. The game was supposed to be played between me and you. It's like, you call me to play tennis with you, then you say instead of me, Djokovic will play. Hey, what nonsense. You understand? Even retired 80-year-old retired player can beat me. So now, he should have just said, okay, if you do not play against me, your uncle will play against me. Instead of me, Krishna will play. Simple. But he didn't have that buddhi. And then every situation, if you know the story, everywhere you will see how Duryodhana uses the buddhi, the way he got Salya as the charioteer for Karna is fascinating story. When you read Mahabharata, Duryodhana entered into the war purely because of his confidence with Karna. He knew Bhishma, Drona, superior warriors, great warriors. They can also win, but he never trusted them because he knows they are a very soft corner for Pandavas, especially Arjuna. But he knows that Karna is a different guy. Karna will die for me. So it is Karna. And he wanted a good charioteer for Karna. Because Arjuna had Sri Krishna as a charioteer. And Salya was coming to support Pandava side. And he's a great charioteer and warrior. So he decided, I must get Salya somehow to be the charioteer of Karna. So he organized a lot of arrangements, everything on the way. When he's coming from his kingdom to give his support, on the way he made a lot of resting place and everything. And Salya thought it is all arrangements were made by Pandavas. So he said, I'm impressed by these facilities and to them my support. Then he came to know that it was all Duryodhana. And that's how Salya, who came to support Pandavas, actually ended up fighting against Pandavas. So I'm just giving one story to tell you how clever Duryodhana was. He thinks 2-3 steps ahead. All for his personal ends. So, it was because of Krishna that Pandavas won over Kauravas. Otherwise, the story would have been different.
Guruji, I'm a little confused with this topic actually. So supposing in the same example, so why could they not be aggressively good in the first place and use their intellect instead of suffering for so many years and then using their intellect and being aggressively good? First they use all that
sound,
gate, whatever.
No, even in the end they didn't use. Krishna was the one who used.
So why did Krishna not ask them to use it in the beginning then? I mean, what I mean is like, till what point is it all right to, like that that whole concept. So when is it all right to be aggressively good? And till when, why did they need to suffer for 14 years and before that also, before you being aggressively, becoming aggressively good?
No, see, first of all, you cannot help fellows unless they seek your help. Okay, they were not seeking Krishna's help. They were doing things on their own. When they went to Krishna, then he interfered. Draupadi called him, he came. Pandavas, especially Arjuna, went to Krishna, he came. You understand? Once they have come, he will be using his buddhi.
Okay, so first they are operating out of their own doership and ego, and then finally when they approach him, that is when he is guiding them to be aggressively good.
He tried his best. Even Yudhishthira, in one context, when he says, you know, Ashwatthama, the elephant died. He says, say Ashwatthama died. He says, arre, arre, I will not say all that. I can't say Ashwatthama is dead. You know. He says, okay, they kill one elephant or naturally died or something like that. The elephant's name is Ashwatthama. And he said, Ashwatthama, elephant died, you say that. When he was saying Ashwatthama, elephant died, they beat the drums when he was saying elephant. So Drona heard only Ashwatthama died. And that's how they made Drona weak and they finished him off. All this they did after they did nonsense with that young boy. What's his name?
Abhimanyu.
Before that, they didn't do anything like that. You understand? story we must understand correctly, the events. All nonsense those fellows do without following any rules, and Karna was one of them. Karna was one of them, I think if I remember the story correctly, he was the one who sent the sword behind, from behind, you know. When Abhimanyu was fighting with his fellows, he came from behind and killed him. Now you do all that nonsense and you expect, it's like you come to my house and you steal my purse. Okay. And it is kept on your table in your room. Just like that I came and I saw Reha. I didn't expect that you would have stolen it, but it is there. I understood that you have stolen it, but that just that when I came, you are taking bath. So I have to wait for you to come out and say, excuse me, it looks like it's my purse. May I take it back? Why should I do all that? I know it's my purse, you have stolen, it's there. Take it back. I don't have to ask you. So the thing is, these fellows by themselves are very, very passive. It's because of their devotion that also, you understand, they went to Krishna and all that. Otherwise, they are not using the buddhi and doing all that, no.
Yeah, if I may interrupt, so during the elephant episode of Ashwatthama, he was going to say the elephant and then they said, no, you say Narova Kunjarova. Which means I don't know which Ashwatthama, whether the man or the elephant has died.
Yeah, whatever that is, my point is, he will not say that also, Yudhishthira.
Yeah, but is it good to say that when you know what the fact is?
See, like I told you, you take the situation, separate and discuss it a different thing. Everything has its context. If you ask me independently, should I be speaking the truth? Yes. Always? Yes. Now, if you ask me, what is more important, speaking the truth or being truthful? Now, you see, the situation is different now. Suddenly, you have given me another kind of a question. There's a twist. First question is, should I be speaking truth or false? Truth. Always? Yes, always. Now, should I be speaking truth or truthful? What is, I have to be truthful. So, you know, we have to analyze the entire data. Simply, it's not something that we can sort it out in a question answer session. The entire picture when you see, to be truthful is the main thing. Yudhishthira had to say a few things. He will not say, so they made him say. There the idea is not end justifies the means. If it was the case, they would have done it in a different way. They never did that. It is never end justifies the means. But these fellows are playing the game so badly. They do all kinds of nonsense. They did everything nonsense. First of all, what they did to Draupadi itself is enough for you to do anything you want against the fellows. You understand? They are not really, they are not really warriors. They are cowards.
But it keeps going back. No, somebody will, someone's perception is something, and then like supposing for Draupadi, Duryodhan said, oh, she laughed at me when I fell into the water, so I will dishonor her. So, I mean, everyone justifies going backwards, ki, achha, this happened and then that happened, that's why I'm justified to do whatever.
No, not justifying. Let us assume that she laughed at you only. So you will disrobe the woman in front of
her. No, I'm not saying what is right, but everyone keeps escalating. Today a terrorist says, so-and-so came, this community came and killed my mother and daughter in front of me, so I'm justified to go and kill them back. I'm fighting for my rights.
So he may say whatever he wants. Let him say that. Now, the question is, does it mean that you have to kill a terrorist? For which I'm answering. I am not talking about terrorist. Terrorist may have his own conditioning. He may say that, listen, this has happened to our community, therefore we are doing, I don't know what all they will say. Let them say whatever they want. Instead of fighting against the army men who have the weapons and all that, they are coming inside and they are killing innocent people, children in the hospital. Now, when I go and kill them, maybe I am hiding behind or I join their group and kill them from within only, then you come and question what you are doing is wrong. For that I am answering. My answer is for that. not about terrorists and all that. That's a from their angle, that's a different thing. They have gone through certain conditionings.
So should you not wait for the law to take its turn? Should you just take the law in your hands?
No, who's taking the law in our hands? See, there is a game. In the game, I have to drive on the left side, you have to drive on your left side. So coming headlong, I have to go that side. Or, these terrorists, they come in the truck and then they go about driving madly in the marketplace, killing everyone. So you might have to shoot that fellow. You can't wait for the law to take its course. You catch the fellow without killing him, then take him to the court and let the court decide whether he did it right or wrong. That is all. By chance you got him alive, then you do all that.
No, self-defense is different than going into their colony and trying to kill, no? If somebody plays a wrong move in a game, you throw them out. You don't say he's played wrong, so I will also play wrong.
No. Now you're giving another data. Now that's fine with me. Now when you know that they are already having a camp somewhere doing this training, you have to go and finish that there. Because you can't say, okay, let them come here. You already know they are getting trained and one by one they are coming, when batches they are coming here. So when you know, you can do that. There's nothing wrong. It's the same thing.
The army men would do, for sure. That's their job, yes.
That's
to hunt them out. But
yeah.
Not...
Huh? Pardon?
But one mustn't kind of break rules just to win a situation, no? Just because they have broken.
Never, I already told you. Mm. Our idea is not to win or lose.
Mm.
The thing is to be truthful. To be truthful. I may not be an army man, I may not be a policeman. If in front of me, I came to know there's something happening, like that Nirbhaya case. Now, I will see what best I can call the police, whatever. But within my reach, whatever I can do, that time I will do. And it... can't talk
so what's
to
the
those in logic
between...
Pardon?
What's the difference between truth and truthful? I'm sorry, I'm a bit confused.
Truth means saying the truth to Drona. Other is being truthful in the context and telling something to weaken them. Weaken them because they are doing the same thing. They are being extremely unscrupulous. They do anything. See, when you face that situation, you'll understand what is the difference between being... See, truth has to be in alignment with truthfulness. Otherwise, it is not truth. The problem is, like for example, you have a principle that you will not eat meat. You will not kill animals. Correct. Good. Fine. You have the principle of ahimsa. Now, something happens in a situation that you have to eat that. Otherwise, survival becomes difficult or whatever it is. What will you do? You will say, okay, sarvam krishnarpanam, you have it. Always, then there is dharam sankat. This is called dharam sankat. Dharam sankat means between two dharmas. See, dharma is relative. Please understand that. It's not absolute. Dharma is relative. When there is a conflict between lower dharma versus higher dharma. You understand? When there is a conflict between lower dharma and higher dharma, you have to be on the side of higher. This is called dharam sankat problem. Always. So, saying what actually factually happened is what we call as truth, speaking the truth. But saying that in a context may not help you. It may actually imprison a wrong person maybe. See, even today in many countries, not only in India, there are so many laws which are outdated. It's just unbelievable. Some of the laws are all outdated. Their government themselves, they come and then they, each government when they come, whatever they can remove, they'll remove. Whether they are doing politics and that is separate, that is kind of not getting in. But lot of laws are outdated. So, I have to be truthful. And if a person goes purely by the letter of law, this fellow will go to jail. That fellow will go to jail. Now, that is wrong, doing wrong to that person. Speaking the truth, you are going against being truthful. So I would say in that context, I will choose being truthful. Sometimes you may not say the truth, but you may not say the false also, you may keep quiet. Or you may say this, it all depends. Idea is to be truthful. So when you say law will take its course, so many laws are outdated. When will the law be changed? In this country, a few years ago, they removed that law, no? What is that law? That homosexuality. Yes, just because the persons like each other, they'll be in prison. What kind of a law is this? So now, it's outdated, right? But if only you go by law, a fellow will be in jail. So we need to understand that. If you are a thinking type, you will say, listen, I will be truth, speaking the truth always. But if I have to choose between truth and being truthful, their truthfulness is a higher dharma. So that's why I said, when we have this kind of discussions, let me clear about the data. I keep on giving more and more data, then things will change. So in the case of end-justifying the means, a fellow doesn't care about truth only. I am saying you care about truth. You follow the smaller dharma, truth. But when you have to choose between, in some situation, very rarely that will come, between truth and truthfulness, then I will choose truthfulness. So in that Yudhishthira, the Drona case, it is like that. Yudhishthira is a highly passive guy. Highly, highly passive. What can we do? Because of that, they suffered. First of all, even, I mean, is she of property just because she is married to you? On what basis you were gambling, keeping her as a, what do you call that? What is the word for it?
Dao lagana.
Huh?
Dao pe lagana.
Collateral.
Huh, collateral.
Mm-hmm.
But is she a property or what? Is she an object? That, for that these fellows deserve to be suffering.
How would you say Ram was when he did what he did to Sita ji?
We didn't do the same thing to Sita like Duryodhana. I'm sorry, Yudhishthira. He did not do the same thing. No, he did not. He did not. It was all Sita's decision.
Huh?
It was all Sita's decision.
No, he threw her out of the house.
He didn't. Of course,
with the dhobi.
Hey, that is what I think this question many years ago we discussed. If you know the story, when he had to pass a judgment as Raja Rama, nowadays such, first of all, two, three things I have to say in this context. There are certain things done in certain era according to the rules, regulation of that time. Now the rules and things have changed. Keeping that in mind, let's discuss this, number one. Number two, as Raja Rama, he had to do whatever he did. But as Sita Rama, the husband of Sita, he had no doubt anything against Sita. When you are a minister, if there is a general, see the story says that only one dhobi fellow had a doubt. It is wrong. Dhobi is only one representative of the public in the story. So the general discussion, general thing was there. But generally the atmosphere is saying that you have taken a bribe. As a minister, if in general there is this kind of what do you call? Thinking.
Opinion.
as a minister, you are supposed to resign. And then face it in the court. Once you are proven innocent, you get back maybe. This is what Lord Ram did to Sita that time as a king. In Tamil, Kambaramayan, beautifully it is brought out, you know. When Lakshmana leaves Mother Sita in the jungle and comes back, he finds Lord Ram little disturbed. You know, what nonsense is this? You were the one who sent her to jungle. Now you are sitting and crying. For which in Tamil, Kambaramayan, he says, Sirayai kaattukku anuppiyathu Raja Raman, ippozhudhu azhuthu kondirupadhu Sita Raman. Which means, the one who sent her to the jungle is Raja Ram. The one who is sitting and crying is Sita Ram. Because he knows, as a husband, there is nothing wrong in her.
So
there is no doubt. That is different. What happened here is different. This fellow is considering his... Whether he is considering or not, I don't know. He's stupid. To keep... How can you keep your wife as a collateral? She's a being, man. She's not an object. Firstly, the thought itself is stupid. As if somebody is your property. So, that is completely different. This is completely different. So, in the context there, the general thinking was such that. So, he said, no, I'm above everything. There is no personal listing. If this is a thing, we'll do that. When that is sorted out, we will manage that. We'll see that. That's how it is. So that is what Lord Ram did in that context.
Actually, in Ram's context, it is more the higher dharma and the lower dharma. Where he has...
Dharma? Pardon?
In that Lord Rama's context, it is actually that the higher dharma and the
correct.
Lower dharma is what you are...
Correct.
Very well answered, Guruji.
Yeah, it is higher dharma versus lower dharma. In here, Yudhishthira is something else. You know, it's madness. Bhima and all was so angry with Yudhishthira that time. So, it's absolute stupidity to kind of keep your wife as a collateral. A wife or children, whoever it is. Whole kingdom, everything, so stupid is. So, therefore, they also deserve to suffer to some extent. So they went through all the suffering. See, always remember these things. Principles are extremely important. But when there is a conflict between two dharmas, choose the higher. But such situation comes very rarely. Every 2 minutes you are doing like this in justifying. We only discuss like that in the class. That is wrong. Such situations don't come every 2 minutes. Very rarely it comes.
No, thank you, Guruji. I think this has given a lot of clarity.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Hari Om Guruji.
Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Budhyatmanava Prakrite Svabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayana Eti Samarpayami.